Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Well, first this morning, it's a move that has left Hollywood baffled, movie financiers confused, and caused alarm in a domestic film industry like our own about potential job losses. US President Donald Trump's call for a 100% tariff on films made outside America could have deep ramifications on an iconic industry. But how realistic is the threat, and what are the consequences here? David Putnam, film producer and educator, is on the line. And David, Donald Trump says, we want movies made in America again in announcing this plan for foreign films. What's your own reaction to that announcement?
Well, I think it's not untypical, but it's incredibly ignorant, because it's a very, very, very complicated business, the film business. You've got to remember, first of all, only 28% of revenues are generated back in America. So it's 72% of all the money that movies make is made outside the United States. That's the first, I think, probably most important thing. Secondly, the way the film ecosystem works is immensely complex. So, for example, a lot of the revenues you get are from streaming, from any kind of, not in a number of means of distribution. How you track those, how you decide, do they qualify as this, do they qualify as that? Almost impossible. Now, the useful thing is, in 1988, Claire, I was one of the two negotiators for the EU when we went through all this before with Clinton. And in the end, Clinton made all sorts of promises to the Americans, but we ended up with the status quo. Mm-hmm. And I suspect we wanted to end up a million miles away from that this time. But what it will do is generate incredible insecurity in terms of people's investment plans.
Right. So it will affect investment. But there is a problem, whether it's perceived or real, that there are companies traveling outside of the United States to make products often, and they're being made in other countries, in Europe and so on. And they're made look as though they're being made in the United States. And that's for budgetary reasons, isn't it?
It's often for budgetary reasons. It's often also just literally for the appeal of the films. I mean, there's a reason why White Lotus are made in Sardinia and Thailand and everywhere else. It's because the audience want it there. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm not pretending there's anything simple about this. What I would say is, in the end, filmmaking is about stories. And for us in Ireland, it's about our own stories. We happen to be very good storytellers. It will be about economics to a degree. But I'm going to be advising my own students, young film students, that this is an opportunity more than a threat. And it's an opportunity to start telling their own stories at an economically viable price, and to audiences who hopefully will reward them because they're interested in their own stories. There's a wonderful film, Claire, coming out, I think next month, called Christie. I beg you, see it. Made in Northcourt with kids from Northcourt is sensational. I don't know, and that's not a word I use a lot, but it also has a lot to do with how young people in Ireland see themselves and develop their lives. It's very encouraging film, actually. So we could just make films like that. It was made for pennies.
Mm-hmm. Which is great to hear, and we hope it's a success. But if this tariff regime is introduced, how will that movie be seen in the United States?
How would it be seen in the United States? At the moment, I've no idea. But what I do know is there's more platforms than there were. I mean, dozens more platforms than there were when I was making movies. So I'd say we've been here before. What the tragedy is, he's taking advice from people who are witless. I mean, I gather Mel Gibson's put advice, John Voight's put advice, Sylvester Stallone. These people have not a clue as to how sophisticated this business is. And to answer your earlier question about films being made in America and as it were, this production escaping, those films, only 28% of the revenues of those films will go back to the United States. So why would 72% of the world's film market say, you know what, this is an inevitability, we'll just accept the fact that this is an American business and all the filmmakers can be done in America? It won't work that way. It just what will happen is people will start looking at levies. They'll start looking at how many American films they want to see distributed in their own countries, which is what's happening in China. That's what sparked all this. The Chinese have got strict quotas.
Right, so there'll be a tit for tat here, is what you're saying.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So what about movies then, you know, production that's perhaps made in Ireland and then edited in the United States? I mean, we don't have any detail on what he's planning here. I mean, is that an American movie or is it an Irish movie?
You're absolutely right. It's a very, very good piece in last night's Financial Times, which sets all this out. How do you judge? We've actually got quite good systems for evaluating the, as it were, the nationality of a film, because a lot of the quotas that we apply and a lot of the levies that are given to films are related to the number of jobs employed. So this, it's all being done. This, it's a very sophisticated business. What I don't want to do this morning is sound in any way defensive. This is a stupid move. It will undoubtedly, I think, blow up in his face. I hope pretty well everything blows up in his face. But it won't. He's going to cause far more chaos than he'll solve. He'll bring a few jobs back to the United States, but I promise you, everyone, every American involved in making and distributing of movies today is very, very worried. They're not sitting there thinking, "Oh, great, this is a bonanza for America." It ain't. Mm.
But what about the worries and fears of people working in the film industry here in Ireland and also in the UK?
I think, it'll provoke a lot of insecurity. There will be, without doubt, there'll be job losses. And we may have to reconfigure what we make, the money we make films for. That's the reason exactly I mentioned the film Christie. We may start have to go back to making films for relatively inexpensive sums of money. Mm-hmm. But that's a creative challenge, and it's also a creative opportunity. You'll be interviewing people 2 or 3, 4 years from now who have made very good films as a direct result of Donald Trump's blundering.
So what you're saying is then perhaps some of these companies, and think of the Irish ones involved in film production here, might look now at producing films for more local audiences, more European audiences, and for international audiences outside of the United States.
Yes, and bear in mind already 72% of the revenues they generate already are reaching audiences outside the United States. I think that's the core issue here. Is this looks as though this is going to be an enormous commercial benefit to the United States. Can I just say this, Claire? When I came into the industry, 70% of all revenues were earned in the United States and Canada. 70%. Today, that figure is 28%. I just hope people will focus on that, just that number. It was an American-dominated industry, both in terms of production and in terms of revenues. That's no longer the case.
But in the short to medium term, David, you are saying that this uncertainty now that's coming as a result of him saying this is going to impact investment in movies.
It will impact investment, it'll impact confidence. It'll mean people having to getting their spreadsheets out and re-looking at them and redoing them. But I want to, the key message here, because I really want to be encouraging, is from a creative point of view, this could emerge as maybe a very, very good thing. It'll reshape the industry. It'll make us look at what we're good at, but now that we're good at storytelling, and also look at the inflated costs of movies, which have become increasingly unjustifiable. Mm-hmm.
And he says movies very specifically. He doesn't mention animated films. He doesn't mention unscripted television. So perhaps there are opportunities there.
There definitely are. I mean, I think the problem is we're giving extraordinary amount of credibility to an entirely ignorant tweet.
Well, yes, but I mean, we have seen, certainly in this term, when he says something on social media, he then tends to follow through on the policy in the main.
No, he doesn't. He tends to retreat. Mm-hmm. I would argue that five out of six of the major policy statements he's made, he's retreated from.
Yes, but I suppose, David, it's the uncertainty, and you've mentioned this yourself, that it does impact investment, and it does, people start questioning whether they're doing the right thing, putting their money where they had planned to.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, it is about the uncertainty, but at the moment of uncertainty, the worst thing anyone can do is panic. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to think that the people I know, certainly at Screen Ireland, for example, are very smart people, that they don't panic, that they rethink, reorientate, and remember the most important thing, that America makes a huge amount of money out of the industry the way it is right now.
David Putnam, film producer and educator, thank you for joining me. Well, I'm also joined now by Brian Gormley, who's a partner at Philip Lee LLP, specialising in advising on film and television financing and production. Brian, good morning to you.
Hi, good morning, Claire.
I'm sure you're scratching your head about what all of this might mean for the industry here. What's your take on what we're hearing from President Trump?
Well, I mean, at the moment, it's just very unclear, very uncertain what it actually is going to mean in practice. I mean, I kind of repeat a lot of what you and David just discussed in terms of this being a very kind of complex business. I mean, the idea that there is a, you can call one film, you know, non-US and another film US is quite difficult in practice. I mean, most films tend to be made from, you know, a pattern of different funding sources. Production tends to sprawl across different countries. So yes, you may have shooting happening here in Ireland, but then you may also have shooting happening in the US. You may have post-production happening in the US. So is this tariff going to apply to, you know, which films will it apply to? I think that's really unclear.
Seems to want to encourage more film production to happen in the United States. I mean, what are the reasons that productions tend to happen in other countries? Because we do hear a lot about that, that it's just too expensive now to make these things in the States, and so they're done in other countries.
Yeah, I suppose I've been involved in the Irish industry for quite some time, where when I first got involved, it was a much smaller industry, and you've seen it kind of growing up over time. And I think there's different things that happen. So first of all, there is the Section 41 tax credit has been a great benefit for Ireland. So that's been there for a long time. Unlike other tax incentives in other countries, there's a lot of certainty with it. You know, in some places, you know, once a certain number of films use the tax incentive, it's done for the year. That doesn't happen in Ireland. It keeps on going. It's the same percentage. It's, you know, you can kind of work out what it's going to be. So that helped a lot. But it isn't just with the tax incentive. You know, it's also with the fact that, you know, the US is heavily unionized. So there is a lot of difficulties or uncertainty that comes at times. Like, unions are good, but in terms of the amount of union control in the US, it makes it difficult at times for films to stay within budget. Mm-hmm. But then also what happens is that over time, and you see this in lots of industries, is that you have this group of people who are really, really experienced, really good at what they do in terms of, you know, directors and crew members and writers and so on. And you get to a critical kind of mass, and that's what's kind of happened in Ireland, and you see it happening in other countries in the world. So I think you have, we work with Irish producers, but we also act with the US studios, and we can see their decision-making process. And they kind of measure up the different jurisdictions and work out where it's best to go. And yeah, it's just the US can be a bit more difficult. It's also the strikes didn't help in the US a couple of years ago. And I think the industry in the US is still recovering from that. The fires didn't help in LA a few months ago. That didn't help as well. So it's not, you know, it's a complex area, and there's lots of decision making made to kind of come to the decision of where a film should go.
And do you agree with what David Putnam is saying? I mean, this might not come to anything. We know that Donald Trump has backtracked on some of his decisions during this term.
Yeah.
But it does create uncertainty, doesn't it? And it could impact investment.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I don't think it's any coincidence that this has been announced the week before the biggest film festival in the world is about to start in Cannes in France. So, I mean, we're going to that festival, like lots of the Irish industry are going, and it's the festival. I mean, everyone talks about the festival in terms of the red carpet and so on, but actually what's important to Cannes is the marché, like the market, where lots of the decisions are made how to put the film financing together between different distributors and producers and other decision makers. Mm-hmm. And so having this level of uncertainty kind of casting a pall over it, it's just really unhelpful, and really unhelpful at a point where, you know, even like a couple of weeks ago, we were all saying, oh God, isn't it great? You know, after the last few years between the pandemic and the strikes and other things, and, you know, the film TV industry has been affected over the last few years. And we've all been kind of celebrating that the first quarter of 2025 has actually been really positive and really good. And a lot of production has come into Ireland. A lot of domestic production is happening as well. So to have this, I mean, not that it's unexpected that he would do this, but to have this kind of come in is, yeah, it's just really unhelpful. And one thing I'd say too, Claire, that kind of sort of strikes me about this in terms of why this may not actually happen, or may not happen to the extent that he is saying, is that, I mean, a lot of the projects we work on, the film and TV series, they are shot in Ireland, but they are being financed by a, well, they're being financed by a US streamer or another sort of digital company. So the likes of, you know, Netflix and Apple and Amazon, they're the ones who are funding a lot of these projects that are happening in Ireland. And so
it speaks again to the complexity. And we heard that from David too. Brian, we'll leave it there for now, but thank you very much for your time. Brian Gormley there, who's a partner at Philip Lee. And we heard from David Putnam a little earlier. Coming up next, it's one of the most complex and emotional decisions facing farm families. We're going to hear about the Fair Deal scheme next.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.